Thank you for that holy words, those challenges to us this morning, Levi. We receive them. Lo, God is here. We serve a big God. There'd be 10 million people placed at various places in the universe, in as many places with incomprehensible distances between each one of them. I believe that each one of them could say that God is here. Adam tried to hide from his sin, but he was trying to do an impossibility. Jacob realized it in a desolate place. The Lord is here, and I knew it not. I believe David realized it in Psalm 139. Where should I go? Where should I go to flee from you? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings as the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, thy right hand leads me. Jonah tried to flee from God but couldn't. Lo, God is here. Titled a few thoughts I have this morning. So, the beautiful body of Christ. Kind of taking a different turn here, in a way. It's a blessing to be able to speak on this subject, knowing the body here, you brethren, wanting to work together as brotherhood, church, etc. And we as a family appreciate being part of this work of God. Each of us is uniquely different, but yet commonly united enough to work together in or as the body of Christ. So before we begin, maybe we could rise for a word of prayer. Father, we again thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. We thank you for your word that has come forth by your quickening spirit. It searches the hearts, it tries the reins. Father, we pray that you continue to do your work here in our midst. Me first, Lord. You know what's in the innermost thoughts. You know what my being consists of. You know what's in our hearts there this morning. I pray by the Spirit of the living God that you would walk these aisles, that you would search the hearts, you would try their reins. See if there be any wicked way within us. Father, we commit these few moments to your hands. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It brings encouragement, brings life, it breathes life to our souls. And Father, we just pray that we could be that way this morning, that we could be just a blessing. We could be a blessing to the body of Christ. We could each have our own place, find our own place in the kingdom of God. Lord, this is a big thing, but yet each as individuals in this corporately, Father, that we would find our place in your kingdom, working in your vineyard. You placed us in a certain place. You've brought us into this life in a certain time. You have a purpose for us to do your will here in our window of time and opportunity that you have given to us here as individuals and also as a congregation. May we be about your business. May we do your work. May we be involved in reaching out for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Father, we do love you. Thank you for giving us one more day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Been a bit emotional here this morning, not just this all morning actually, and I pray that you would excuse me for that. I'm not sure. Trust God is doing His work in my heart that needs to be done. And we'll try to go on here. So at the beginning, we'll read some verses here. The title, these few thoughts, as I mentioned, is The Beautiful Body of Christ. Romans 12:5. I'm just going to read a few verses here, then we might come back to them. So you don't have to turn to them if you don't want to right now. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The blood of Christ is the first one. I'm sorry, I misread that. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Okay, like I said, we may come back to some of those verses. On the subject of the body, we can draw many things from the human body. And that's what we want to do this morning here at the offset. The human body. I think we can, analogies break down. But we want to take some examples from this, from the human body. It's made up of many parts. Some we would refer to it as a machine. The human body is an amazing work of art. I can imagine the joy God had in forming man out of the dust of the ground and then breathing in his nostrils, and man became a living soul. It's amazing. This thing was brought to life. This pile of dust, this pile of dirt was brought to life because God is life. And when God breathes on something, He breathes forth life. And man became a living soul. He was a living, breathing, he was a walking, talking pile of dust. So here, we have body parts and functions. Some are not very highly esteemed, but they are needful. What is the body made of? It's made of chemical elements and molecules. It's made up of cells and tissues. It's made up of organs and organ systems. We have the skin, and in that we have three parts. We have the epidermis, we have the dermis, and the subcutaneous tissues. And the skin of I'm not sure if it's average or not, but the skin of a 150-pound person covers about 20 square feet. Now we have the skeletal system. You have more than 200 bones in your body, and they consist of 18% of your body weight. We have the muscular system. We have the different types of muscles. We have the skeletal and the smooth and the cardiac. You have almost 700 muscles, and that consists of 40% of body weight. You have the digestive system. It breaks down food for the nutrients that the body can use or needs. And in those you have mouth, esophagus, and stomach, and small and large intestines. And in those, each one of these that I'm mentioning, there's a lot more that goes with it. There's a lot more detail. I'm not a doctor. You could ask a doctor what all this stuff involves. But you have the circulatory system where the heart and the blood vessels are involved. You have the respiratory system where there's breathing, there's air passages and exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen there. You have the lymphatic system, which is a very complex system there. that has kind of drains fluid throughout your body. It also involves, it's connected with your blood vessels and blood exchange. There's the urinary system. There's the productive system. There's the endocrine system, which would include a lot of your glands, your pituitary glands and your different glands throughout your body. And it regulates various body functions. You have the nervous system that oftentimes gets a hold of me when I'm in front of a group here. And these systems are made up of many parts. And each system / part has a special job, so to speak, and very unique in its own way. Let's name a few. We have the heart that beats approximately 100,000 times a day. It pumps blood throughout the body in vessels. And we read from the Word that life is in the blood. Oxygen-rich blood from lungs is pumped throughout the body, where and nutrients also in that, where the body receives life or receives nutrients that way. You have the heart. You have when you feel your heart beat, you have a small beat and a heavy beat, the strong beat, a weak beat, and a heavy beat. Almost at the same time. If you feel that, if you feel your heartbeat, you can feel that. It's like a thump, two thumps there. But the weaker pump is taking your blood from the transferring them back and forth from the lungs to the heart, and the heavy one is what pumps it throughout your body. Very important. You have a network of blood vessels that run throughout your body, about 60,000 miles of it. When the heart stops beating, we die. Life is in the blood, and when that life flow is stopped, you die. So it's pretty important. That heart is pretty important. A 70-year-old man, that heart has pumped about 55 million gallons of blood in its life. We would say that would be a pretty important part of the body. You have the arms. You know, some of these things we can see. You have the arms, the hands. We have the legs. The head. Think of the head, the brain. It's a very complex control system. Has anyone ever figured out how this thing works? It's always sending forth messages. It's doing things that you're not even conscious of. All the time. There can people be living and brain dead, but they're very useless. There's also, we have the little toe. We don't see it much. A lot of times we have our shoes on, so we don't see it much. But some people say that if people that are without or cut off their little toe, they realize what it does, that it's involved in your balance. But we don't think about it. And when we have all those members, we don't think about it. And we just take for granted some of those things but they have their purpose. There's a reason that they were put there. There's a reason that little toe was placed there. God had a marvelous plan there. And we think of the inner ear. You know, we can't see the inner ear. Also, if those things, little bones there are broken, that also has to do with balance. So each one has its perfect work in the human body. We think of the nervous systems made up of countless nerve cells. It is a communication network. And messages travel up to 400 to 425 feet per second. Some parts are seen. Some are not. Some are deemed as more important than others. But it takes every minute function for it to work properly. We think of that little toe when the other members puts the shoe on, puts the sock on to cover it. You don't see the little toe fighting against it. It lets it cover him. It's not fighting for the top. The human body is made up to fight against diseases. It defends from over around 100 different diseases. It maintains body temperature. It detects how hot or cold outside is. Then it tries to maintain temperature inside by sweating and by doing things that make itself warm. It detects light. Come into a dark room, your pupils widen. Come into light, they go down again. You don't think about it. The only time you think about it is when you come in a dark room and you wait a little bit and your eyes get accustomed to the light. But it does it by itself. You don't have to tell your eye, okay, I'm going into a dark room, now adjust for me a little bit here. Or come into a, go out to the sun and you start squinting. You don't tell your eyes, okay, we've got to squint a little bit here, there's too much light. No, it just does what they're made to do. The human body can repair itself in most small injuries. It is made to heal itself. Given time, rest, and the right care, scientists and doctors keep figuring out more things that God already did. How is it with us when we get hurt physically? When I just unloaded in Hollywood, and I afterwards seen I was bleeding with my finger here, and it was just a scratch, but it was bleeding, and I must have smashed it against a couple pieces. I felt it. It was more than just a scratch. It felt like it was smashed. But it wasn't big enough to put a Band-Aid on. But I did actually this morning. I did put a Band-Aid on. But that little finger could not help itself. It could not put that Band-Aid on. It could not take care of itself. No way, no how. And neither can any. If you have a broken leg. That broken leg can't help itself. But don't all the other members rally around it when there's a hurt and take care of it? When one can't help itself, we say he is handicapped. Now we want to look at the body of Christ with its many parts. The beginning here, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we'll just read the entirety of it. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then the gifts of healings and helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is on into chapter 13, which we're not going to get into. I want to bring out in the 4, 5, and 6 a few thoughts here. In verse 4, it talks about the diversities of gifts. The gifts is the qualifications, or some would say the miraculous faculty. We have different names of gifts, works, functions in Scripture. We just got done reading some at the end there in chapter 12. It talks about the apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles and such like. There's also more in Romans chapter 12. Also some in Ephesians, which are some of the same ones, Ephesians 4. But they have the gifts. We have the different gifts, the different qualifications. And we also have, in verse 5, we have the difference of administrations. And that word there is also used as serving or ministering. I want to read a few verses here. Think of Luke 40. In Luke 40, we talk about Luke 10:40. Martha was cumbered with much serving. That word serving is the same Greek word as administrations there. Also, we have in Romans 11:13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnifying mine office. Office there is also that same Greek word there. Also in Romans 12:7 we have this verse, or ministry, that's also a like word. Let us wait on our ministering, there's another one, ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Also in 2 Corinthians 8:4, pray in us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That ministering to the saints. Ministering is also a like word as administrations we have in verse 5 there. We also have in verse 6 diversities of operations or different operations. And those are workings. We have similar words in Colossians 1:29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Those workings are similar words as used in operations. Also in Colossians 2:12, we have buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, which could be also termed as the work of God, who raised Him from the dead. And these are all according to the grace He hath given us, or a measure of faith that uses those two terms in Romans 12, in that chapter. The gifts are according to the grace which God has given, or the measure of faith which God has given to every man. And there is no one without. I would like to settle in each one of our minds this morning that if you are a child of God, you are not without. If you deem yourself to be nothing, well, that's not true. Maybe you are a member that is seemingly unseen. Remember, not everyone has the same gift. And you have something that the body needs. You have something that the body needs. And furthermore, may we not start viewing our gifts in the light of another brother or sister. But may we joyfully give to the body the gift of grace that has been given to us. First Peter 4:10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified, through Jesus Christ, to Him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Romans 12:3 also. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul writing, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's no one without. By reading those verses there, there's no one left without. Everyone has been given a measure of faith. If you are a child of God, you have something that the body needs. And maybe I feel like a little toe this morning. But by the grace of God, I'm going to give what that little toe can give to the body for the edifying of it. Maybe you're keeping back because you're coveting another man's gift. And because of this, the body is suffering because of your... Maybe sin is too strong. So the body is suffering because of your sin. That's what I have wrote down. When we measure ourselves by ourselves, first of all, it's not wise, but it renders us ineffective because we're thinking about this. We're coveting another man's gift. And we're not giving to what we have been given because we're thinking about those other things. Another thing I want you to notice here in these verses, this 4, 5, and 6, is the Trinity. Notice all the differences, but the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God which worketh all in all. What a glorious God that all are involved in the passing out of the gifts. How beautiful is the body of Christ. God is there, and He has a reason for all these things. Think of the human body. You know, there's a reason that we have legs. There's a reason that we have these members. You know, this is maybe elementary stuff, but when we look at the body, and I'm sure all of you have seen diagrams or different, the skeletal system and the muscle system and pictures of it, and how everything is just so fitly framed together. The muscles. In order for your arm to do this, you have to have another muscle for it to do this. One muscle by itself can't do this. But one muscle does this and the other one does this. And so there's a purpose for everything. And so it is in the body of Christ. There's a purpose that you're here. There's a purpose that you are in the body. And God has placed you here for a purpose. And how beautiful is that when we think of that? God has a plan. I want to give you another picture to ponder. It's twofold. Maybe a little graphic. But think of an arm amputated from the body, laying out in the field. Where does it draw its life from? Which body is it connected to? Number two, an arm with a cut on it. Do we send it off somewhere to get healed? No, doctors and hospitals have their place. You know, if there's a broken arm, we get it put in place, etc. But I believe, like the human body, the body of Christ is designed, maybe even more so, to be a healing community. Given an opportunity, I believe, with all the different gifts given, according to the grace in which God gave, the body of Christ has the means within itself to heal itself. Given that all the members are subject to the head and to each other. And that's what I want to briefly touch on now is the head, as Jesus Christ being the head. The human body has been able to live without some members and some not. If a member is taken away, it's usually pretty handicapped. Some would say that I'm not all hair. I had my appendix taken out. And so there's some things that the body can live, function in some measure. I don't know what that thing is for, the appendix. I'm sure the doctor probably told me, but I don't remember. But there's some things that your body somehow is able to go on living without some. Some have been able to live with one heart, with, you know, some of those, or one lung, I'm sorry, not one heart. I'm sure you don't have two hearts. Amen. So there are some things that, some get their arms cut off, like Brother Levi said, they have maybe an arm off, or they were in war, and their leg got blown off or something. They're still able to survive, but they're handicapped. They're not able to do the things that they used to be able to do. A body decapitated. Every human body has a head from where all its direction comes from. And a body decapitated cannot live, simply put. A body can still be living, quote, but be brain dead. But a condition like that, the body is useless. It can't function. But without the head, you cannot live. I have a number of verses here that I just want to read through concerning the head of every man is Christ. Christ being the head. These are familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. All the body, by joints and bands, when you see that human picture of that human body where there's tendons and muscles, the whole thing is tied together by ligaments and such, and it's just a working, smoothly working machine. And this, we have the same thing as the body of Christ. All the body, by joints and bands, they're knit together, increased with the increase of God. Ephesians 2:19 to 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amazing verse there. We're building together for an habitation, the church, for God to dwell in. I don't want to make this judgment, but how many people are going or trying to go on without the head or without any connection to the body? Please, may the Lord Jesus have His rightful place as individuals and also in our church. May He truly have the highest seat of authority in our lives. This really must be. Whatever we do or say must be to and for the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. In Colossians, we have Colossians 3:12-17. Here are a few things to apply to our lives in the context of the body. Put therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. There's that word, brother. I appreciated that study this morning about meekness. Appreciated what you ended up on there. Meekness is not weakness. I'm not sure how you said it, but rather the power of God to have temperance or refrain from what the flesh, had its own way, would desire to do. And it's a power, weakness is the power above that. Meekness is not weakness, but it's power. It's the power of God working in our lives. In temperance, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We want to be perfect. Put on charity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. For the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So what's the purpose for all this? What's the purpose for the body? Before we go on, I just want to read a few verses here that talk about the plurality of the body, or the church. The ecclesia, or it's been termed different ways, the called out ones, or called out to govern, the governing body, or the assembly. I just want to read a few verses here that speaks of the plurality of the church. Acts 14:27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God hath done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Acts 15:22 says this: then pleased it the apostles, plural, and elders, plural, with the whole church, to send chosen men, plural, of their own company, plural, to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, plural words. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, more than one, and the Lord added to the church daily such should be saved. The church, with its unity, God has ever had just one church on the earth, the pilgrim church. It's perpetual. It will continue throughout all ages to the end of the world. It can never be destroyed. It's an everlasting kingdom. this next portion here will lead us to the end of this few thoughts. So what's the purpose of this beautiful body of Christ, which we also call the church? What does it mean for us today? We have one. It's healing abilities. We've already touched on this a little bit, but I'd like to turn to Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That word serve is to be enslaved to or in bondage to. Don't give an opportunity for the flesh. And our people haven't all done so well with this one. You see, a lot start out well, but now you get the picture of serving flesh. And it's serving by love, which means voluntarily or willing. Be enslaved one to another by love and serving one another. Brother Levi just read the verses there in chapter 6 of Galatians. I appreciated that, brother. I'll just read them again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and this is in the context of serving one another and being there for one another and members one to another and whatever the need may be. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye with our spiritual restore such a one. Restoration. Such a one in the spirit of meekness, there's that word again, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. In the context of the church, healing itself, reaching out to one another, being members of one another. This one another in business places a lot of emphasis on the other, on another. And we do well for that to be our emphasis. It is also a testimony that we have passed from death unto life. We get that in First John chapter 3. Let me just read that quick here. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought. And Brother Allen has been teaching us on that word there. I believe it's probably the same thing, same meaning, that we ought, we're obligated. There's an obligation there. Because God did it for us, so are we obligated to do it for each other. Is that right? So this is one of the purposes of the beautiful body of Christ, is that it reaches out to its members. If there's a need, if there's a fall, restoration, reaching out. And sometimes it's us that needs it. Sometimes it's not always the other person. Sometimes we have to recognize that we are but fallen men too. I think was it Tozer that said one of the first steps towards God is to realize that we as individuals are depraved. We're without Him we can do nothing type of a thing. We know that we can recognize that we are but flesh. Number two, it's to be evangelistic. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because we have love of the brethren. There's love within. When we're fitly framed together, there's this one anothering going on. That's a testimony. That one's found in John 13:35. I don't have it before me. You can turn to it later, maybe. The one I want to turn to is 2 Corinthians 9. I thought this was kind of interesting that this was in here. I read over it before. It didn't stand out to me. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's in the context of cheerful giving. I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Primarily in verse 13, we have a picture of what it does when the church not only professes subjection to Christ, but when they walk in subjection and obedience to it. This is also a measure for us, not to just say we believe, but that there are physical outworkings of what we truly believe. And really, we only truly believe in how much we act. Nothing more. And by this, they glorified God for the liberal distribution. They didn't just hear the profession, they seen the works. This was a testimony to them and all men. They were giving to them and all men, but they seen that. Just read it here. They glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. There's a testimony that went out because of that. There's more that could be said there about the church being evangelistic. We'll go on to the third one. It says we seek to edify each other, primarily talking in the church body. First Corinthians 14, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Purpose clause. Seek. Seek to superabound or to excel the building, the architecture building of the church. It's a challenge, isn't it? We seek. That's our purpose. We're seeking how to build the church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11 it says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. In Ephesians 4:11-16. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The gifts that are given to the body of Christ are for the body of Christ primarily. Is that what it says? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, what He's given. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the head, the Christ, the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's imperative. It's a command that whatsoever we do would be to the edifying. Coming to the last one that I have here. Just on in Ephesians. We have in chapter 2, the mystery of Christ unfolds before us. It talks about the church. Salvation from sin. No longer strangers, pilgrims, fellow citizens of the household of God. Gives them there in how the church ought to be. And then we have in chapter 3, we have God's plan there. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He's in verse 8, he said, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ to make known. Paul's teaching the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ to all make all men see. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In verse 10 we have the principalities and power in heavenly places. Some would say that those principalities in heavenly places are the good angels. Some would say they're also include the bad angels. Some would say that it's also talking about the Jewish leaders and rabbis. I would suggest all parties that are included there. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God is revealed to the principalities and powers in heavenly places by the church. The many folds of God's wisdom might be known. Made known by the church. Multifaceted, the many folds of God's wisdom. It wasn't enough for God to display His wisdom in the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the hills, the animals, the fishes, etc. But when we think of God's plan for a people, the wisdom that God displayed in creation, in calling Israel as a nation, leading them, leading these things up to the church, choosing a Redeemer, the atonement, the conversions, calling out a church, a people for Himself, and many other things, but that some of these would be made evident or known by the church. It took wisdom in every one of those situations, the wisdom of God. And He didn't ask anyone for more wisdom. And there was nothing done that could have been done better that God did. But here's the church. Here's God. We think of that picture we have in 1 Peter where the angels are desiring to look into. They're desiring to look as they see a sinner repent and come under the influence of God's Spirit and he receives a new heart. And I can only imagine the angels are just intently looking at this.
in wonder.
They're there with God. They're in the presence of God. They see God. Then the highest vocabulary they can use for God is holy. Holy. And there they see the wisdom of God displayed. Fallen creatures come into the light. What about the church? When they're gazing upon the church of Jesus Christ, intently looking upon it, do they see, as a congregation here, do they see the manifold wisdom of God? Before the wisdom of God, we stand silent. Yet, we, as a church, are called to make it known. By our working and functioning together in a unified harmony, fitly framed, compacted together. With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely, we are the most favored of all creatures. It's a quote from Tozer. This is what Mr. Blacklock says. In all our Maker's grand designs, omnipotence with wisdom shines. His works through all His wonders frame declare the glory of His name. This is a high calling for the beautiful body of Christ to exemplify the character of God. But as we work and function together, bonded by love, what a powerful testimony it is for the glory of God. May it be so.